Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now batting at first base for, what was the name of your high school?
Morris Hills High School.
Robert Fesco. Fesco.
Number 69.
Clearly, you were the 69 guy.
No, I was always number, I don't remember anymore.
Actually, the PA announcer would have said Bobby, right?
Not in high school.
No,
not
okay,
in high school.
Okay.
I kind of made the switch from 8th grade to high school. I went
His
from...
His mother calls him Barf.
Right.
Bobby. Fesco. Fesco. Fesco.
It is true, right? Yeah. Absolutely. Fesco. No. Yeah. Fesco. 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 So, yeah, that would be definitely my walk-up song. I think that... I went through this yesterday about, like, what walk-up song would I want. And I'll tell you what, it's got to be one of the more taxing things for a Major League Baseball player to figure out.
Wouldn't that be tough, though, that one? Because wouldn't you be like...
Yeah, you want to dance,
the rock,
yeah.
His little rock back
yes,
and forth.
Yes,
and
going of course. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That'd be tough.
But now with the new pitch clock, I can get my ass in the box real fast. I don't have time to sway and dance.
Is there going to be walk-up time?
Yeah, there should be some time still. You still got to walk from the dugout to the bat. I don't think they're going to... Or to the plate. Yeah. I don't think they're going to have... I mean, I would hope, Josh, that they don't have like a time clock on how quickly you have to go from the dugout to home plate.
I would hope not. You still should have your full, and it's not a very long time. Because,
no.
I don't remember the player,
right.
But I remember the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Royal just been called up and was standing talking to him at the bottom of the stairs behind the dugout.
Okay,
right? There's a indoor batting cage. Most people probably haven't been in there, but there's an indoor batting cage, and then there's like a little landing, and then up the stairs to the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to someone that had just been called up.
You don't remember who it was.
I don't remember who it was.
Let's go with Brandon Berger.
I don't think it was Nicky Lopez. I think it was prior to that. Nicky Lopez kind of, but I don't think it was. But anyway, I was standing there talking to him, and it
was Nicky Lopez up before COVID?
Well, it would have been. This is definitely before COVID.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. Like, did he come up before COVID? I think he did. I just
don't remember who the player was. But I remember him getting tapped on the shoulder as we're standing there talking. And he's like, and it was one of the PR people. I said, sorry to interrupt. Did you send us your walk-up music? He's like, yeah, I think I did. Let me check. And I was like, of all things, like, so pertinent to that event.
Absolutely.
That day, like, did you send us the 12 seconds of music that'll get you from the dugout to home plate?
That's right. Did you send us that music? Well, because that's what guys want, man.
It was very important. Very important that it had to happen.
Look good,
right,
feel then. Good,
yeah.
Play
yeah.
good,
so
right?
It's a big deal. It's a huge, very big deal.
You got to get the right walk-up music.
Don't worry about it. Did your family get tickets or anything? Give us your walk-up music.
That's right. Your family's taken care of. We got them handled. We got
plenty
of seats available.
All from you was to email a snippet of music.
Right.
Did you do that?
Or just the name of the music, and we can go find that music, unless it's something so bizarre
so
that nobody's ever heard of.
I don't remember the player, but that actually happened, and I still remember because I was chuckling like, wow, that was on the plate today.
I always tell the story of working for the New Jersey Cardinals, and I think America can blame me for this one, and I will take full blame for
this. Because you let the dogs out.
I did let the dogs out on
Damn
this
you,
one.
Bob.
I did. I think ultimately it was my fault. Just like I invented the selfie, I do believe that I brought Who Let the Dogs Out to the United States of America, because this
or at least
was
the stadiums.
Well, at least to the stadiums, and then it kind of, but if it wasn't the stadiums, then where else are we playing this song, right? So it was the summer of 98, and it's June of 1998. 98. It was
back
short
in the
season.
Summer of 98.
Really good year, right? A really good year for baseball. And so I was working in the Cardinals organization in New Jersey. And as an intern, you do all this grunt work, whatever it is. You're hanging signs and cleaning and all that kind of stuff, right? And one day they had this catcher, Eliezer Alfonso, who I believe ended up making it up to the big leagues, maybe had more than a cup of coffee
Sounds familiar, at the big league level, right?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
And we're doing the whole walk.
I actually have, I think.
Yeah, no, I think he played with the Giants and the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. Look that up, B-Dub. They got the internet over there working or not today.
Hey, it's a crapshoot, man.
It's a 50-50 shot, right?
So far this morning, it has not been on my side.
Not been working over there. So he gets up to this, you know, it's like all the guys that are drafted and signed, it's their first real baseball experience at the professional level, and they're asking about the walk-up music, Josh, because as you know, that's very important in the baseball world. And this guy says, well, I would like this song called Who Let the Dogs Out by, I don't even remember who it was. And I'm like, okay,
should.
God. Right,
the Baja Boys.
But no, it was not. They remade it.
Oh, okay. They weren't the original. Okay,
you're jumping ahead in the story here, right?
They get all the credit.
They get all the credit. So
they're like the Milli Vanilli of
basically. Yes, they are.
The dogs out?
Right, they are. And so they said, you know, it's a calypso song. I'm like, all right. So I drive into New York City, which was about an hour from that ballpark that we were working at. And I went to the Virgin Record Store in Times Square. If you've ever been to Times Square, they had the Virgin Record Store. It's probably the biggest record store you're ever going to see, right?
If they didn't have it, nobody had it.
Well, okay. Maybe some rando record shop would have had it on Bleecker Street or something like that. But I don't have that kind of time, right? So I go into the Virgin Records and I find the album. It's Calypso Hits 1998 is the CD. And on there is this Who Let the Dogs Out. Every at-bat, this guy's coming up, the Who Let the Dogs Out, Who Let the Dogs Out. And it's burning a wormhole in your ear. And so the summer ends and all is well, and I leave and I come back to KU for my final year. And like October of that year, I'm listening to a Lawrence radio, not even, probably a KC radio station. I remember what it was at the time. And all of a sudden,
let's call it 610 Country.
610 Country. That's okay. We can do that. Yeah. I'm listening to 610 Country. Right?
That wasn't it. But yeah.
Anselm Douglas.
Yeah. That's who it was. Anselm Douglas. You're 100% about that. Yes. And so I you know, come back and it's like October and we're all sitting around and probably a Tuesday afternoon hammered. And that song comes on the radio and I'm like, am I hearing that right? And I call my friend Drew in. I said, because he was there with me for a couple of days. I'm like, is this the song? He goes, oh my God, it's made its way to the real world and like it's being played on the radio now. And that was by the Baja Men. So if anybody is ticked off about Who Let the Dogs Out, I will take some blame for that because I had never heard that song, played it for this guy's walk-up music all summer, and then all of a sudden it's on the radio. Maybe the Baja Men were sitting in Sussex, New Jersey listening. I don't know.
Come on, who'd be upset about hearing Who Let the Dogs
Who
Out?
Who Let the Dogs Out?
I mean, there's nobody upset about that.
Nobody would be upset. So that's the long story short of walk-up music. So you can text your walk-up music today, just kind of like we do on a Way Back Wednesday. Text your walk-up
song. It's Thursday. And it's walk-up music.
It's walk-up music Thursday.
How long is walk-up music?
About 12 seconds.
Okay,
you mentioned
right? Isn't that about the time frame?
Yeah.
10, 12 seconds.
Well, with the pitch clock, it's right down to 6.
You're only getting 12 seconds of it.
Only 12 seconds of that song. So you got to get the hook right away.
On a Wednesday, I'll let it roll a little bit.
Yeah.
Today it's 12 seconds, boom out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to take it. We're on a pitch clock here.
Got to be on a pitch clock.
Let's
go.
So
opening
day.
Text us your songs and we'll get to them.
Brought to you by KCKPD. They're accepting applications for new and experienced law enforcement officers. KCKPD.org for more information and equal opportunity employer. 310 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals take on the Twins. Vern has your on deck show today beginning at 2.
Yeah. We'll talk to Vern a little bit later on.
Revamped on deck show. So be ready for all of that coming up today at 2 o'clock.
And a completely revamped Vern. Have you seen Vern?
I have not.
Gone is the hair. He's gone full bald.
He's done it.
He's done it. He looks
embraced
awesome.
It.
He looks fantastic.
Nice.
I'm gonna tell you, man, he's got the beard. It's perfect. The head is shaved. I'm like, damn, you can pull that off. And he's like, yeah, I took a picture over the holidays. I'm like, it's gotta go.
Nice. I asked him for his walk-up music last night. You know, he sent me a couple selections and then finally decided on one. I thought it was very well done.
Okay.
So, can't wait to hear Burns' walk-up music and when he joins us today at 8:30.
All right. What's your walk-up music, B-Dub?
Let me go ahead and cue it up for you real quick. I'm going to tell the world.
Tell the world, tell her. I'm going to tell it everywhere I go. Tell the world, tell her. Yeah, I'm a billboard. Tell the world, tell her.
And that's 12 seconds. Tell the world from Lecrae and Molly Music.
All right. What do
Beat
you
up
got?
Just adjusted his gloves.
Three times you got to adjust it before you get in that box.
Part of your walk-up music, too, you have to have the bat on your shoulder.
Right.
Okay. And then you have to do your gloves and see if it's enough time for you to get all that taken care of.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, clearly, you know my walk-up music.
Oh, yeah.
B-Dubs.
We're ready.
B-Dubs had this thing queued up for a while.
Oh, God. These girls peeping me, I'm on glide and swerve. These hookers looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix. That's too long. You got to cut it before the Michael McDaniel starts.
For some reason, I can't control this computer anymore. I've lost,
control of the computer. Okay. Yeah, this has got to go.
I'd never get the gloves adjusted. There's no chance.
No, no way. You start dancing like that. There's got to be a point where somebody is zoned out, right? Where the music is going and you just kind of zone out. Like all of a sudden you're there in the song and you're like, oh, I got a hit.
It's probably more Savannah Bananas walk up music where everybody stops and does a dance break.
Dancing, dancing and having fun. Yeah.
Dance here in studio this morning.
I would like to see guys dancing today when they walk up to the plate, right?
Absolutely.
Like Vinny would definitely pull that off. Maybe even Bobby Witt Jr. could dance a little bit. Salvi, you know, he likes to dance, and MJ, and you know, I don't want to see Dozier dance. But I think for the most part, I think I'd like to see most of these guys dance on their way to the plate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let's have some fun.
Let's roll.
We've heard you've been having fun.
Oh, God, yeah.
I heard it's relaxed. Have fun.
Let me tell you, man, just being out there yesterday, I ran out there for about 10 minutes and grabbed my credential and talked to some folks out there yesterday. Great crowd, by the way, for this open workout that they had yesterday. I was like, wow, there's a lot of people here. This is really cool. But the relaxed atmosphere is legit. I mean, it is night and day from what I experienced when Mike Matheny was running the team. And I think if that's the first step that we can make and the first big change that we can make with this organization, that's a good thing. Because as we've talked about, Josh, and I was talking to Vern about this a little bit yesterday because Vern had the same boss we did. And we talked about what it was like when you had somebody just constantly breathing over your shoulder and on top of you all the time and pressuring you for the littlest minute details.
Vern had that boss too.
Vern did have that boss.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're
twice,
like, yep.
Actually, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you're Vern.
He volunteered to work for that guy again.
Again.
So,
two times.
Yeah, shame on Vern.
Yeah.
Go on, Vern.
Yeah. So, it definitely is a
probably
a more
contributed to his hair loss.
Well, I would imagine. Yeah,
I would think.
That guy had me in therapy for a while too. So, I'll tell you. But it is a more relaxed atmosphere, and you could just see it in the guys, and you want that because for so long it was just like, and you can't do anything good in life when you're tense. You just can't. And you're trying to play a sport when you're all tense and worried about taking the I heard a story yesterday, like from a pitcher, and the story we were talking about how windy it's going to be out there on the mound and, you know, whatnot. Greinke's out there with his compass trying to figure out where the north is and how, I'm not kidding, where the wind's going to be blowing and like it's bizarre, right? Because he's pitching today. And I was talking to another pitcher and we were talking about the difference in pitching coaches and, you know, this whole throw strikes thing. He goes, yeah, we've all been trying to throw strikes for a while, but what they were telling us last year was like the spot that we had to hit was the size of the tip of a pen. Look at the tip of your pen right now. That's the spot that they were trying to make these guys hit. They were trying to be so fine.
And you know what happens when you try to hit that? No chance.
And you lose your mind.
You want to aim it?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And like so the pressure of like, you had to hit the tip of the pen versus now you can go out there and hit the broadside of a barn, right? That it's night and day messaging that is going to these players from where it was, you know, the last couple of years. And that's a good thing. Free them up and let them play, man. Free them up and let them play.
We take our expectations from the manager. Matt Cotraro joined us yesterday on the show. He had a message for fans. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Rayner Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RaynerKC.com. Don't miss the Chiefs Red Half Hour every weekday starting at 11:30 on Cody and Gold on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, time to try and get in the batter's box. Let's go.
B-Dub. Who we got this coming in from today?
It's a walk-up song Thursday.
This is coming in from our man Matty Q, a little Grateful Dead, Shakedown Street, on Fesco in the morning.
That's awesome right there. A little Shakedown Street by the Dead for Matty Q this morning. We'll get to some things he had to say a little bit in a minute. I wanted to share a story about him yesterday. So I'm out there at the ballpark, and I see him. He comes running over to me. He goes, "You know what you've done to me?" I said, "What did
It's
the day before opening day.
Yeah, we didn't even get the season started.
What did I do to you?" He goes, "Come on your show, and I mentioned that I like the Grateful Dead, and this thing has taken off like it's nobody's business. They've decorated his office with Grateful Dead stuff, which is pretty cool, because he's like, I don't know that I really want any pictures of myself up, you know, like, let's not be narcissistic in this, right? So they've got some Grateful Dead posters hanging up, and then he proceeds to tell me that because of this show, SiriusXM Grateful Dead Channel has reached out to him and wants him to host a show.
Sweet.
How awesome is that, right?
Do it.
I told him, I said, "You got to do that, man. You got to do that. Host the Grateful Dead show on Sirius Radio, right? How cool would that be?" And so this Grateful Dead thing has grown up. He goes, and I said I like Cheers, too, and nobody's gotten me to meet Norm Peterson yet. Mm-hmm. I think we could probably get that done.
Yeah.
I think we can work on that.
I think
That's our next goal. He needs to meet Norm.
There's some connections. Yeah. I think they could probably get.
That's exactly right. So happy opening day, Matty Q. Looking forward to seeing the club that you guys are going to roll out there today. It's going to be exciting.
And I can't wait. I haven't heard it yet, but our resident house band, the Old Number Fives, have a Matty Q open.
Oh, nice.
That is
dead-related.
Dead-ish. Okay. Dead-inspired.
Right. They were going to be working on.
Yes.
And so that should be ready for next week's appearance.
Nice. So. That's all awesome. Right. All right. Very good. I hope he likes it, unlike the last guy who hung up.
I hope for our friends the Elder Five that he likes it, because they were devastated.
They should have been devastated.
Mike
Matheny
didn't like their song.
He's a jerk about it.
Yeah, it was great.
These guys wrote great music, and this guy hung up the phone.
So, expectation levels. We'll ask the question all day. What are yours? At 913-586-7610. We asked Matt Cotroiaro, the new manager of the Royals, when he dropped by our show yesterday. Hey, he's seen this team. He's been watching. What should we expect? What should we be looking for? And have him set the bar for us.
Well, I think the one thing that we can control is these guys are going to play hard. They're into the games. I was so impressed throughout the spring with what kind of teammates these guys are, the way they pull for each other. One of the big messages, throughout camp was, one, we can never have too many players doing well. And the more you pull for your teammates to do well, the better frame of mind you're going to be in when it's your turn to perform. You know, things don't always happen on our timeline, and guys don't get the at-bats necessarily when they want them, or the innings pitched, or you have to go to AAA. But the better frame of mind you stay in, the better you're going to be when it's your turn to play. And I've been super impressed with that throughout the spring. So I would expect you'd see guys that are excited to be there, playing hard, pulling for each other, you know, and hopefully controlling the things that they can control on the field, making the routine plays, putting good at-bats together. You know, that's all we can really expect from the guys.
Okay. And that's kind of where I'm at, too. Mm-hmm. Like, my expectation level is try not to have any expectation
levels. That's right, yeah.
And I know you probably right out of the chute, you don't want to hear, well, they're playing hard. You're like, oh, yeah, they should be. But that there's a relaxed atmosphere, they're going to let them go out and perform, and hopefully that'll bring out the best in them as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. That's kind of where my bar is. It's, all right, let's see where this goes, kind of expectation level this year, rather than, well, I expect this team to do such and such. It's, let's see where this one goes.
Right.
I'm kind of in the full kind of wait and see, skewing towards prove it mode, but more of it is wait and see and let me be surprised.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's kind of where I am with this team right now. I love the vibe around this ball club right now. The smiles, the conversations that I was talking to players that have been here for years that I've never even looked at before. So that's how the energy has changed and the attitude has kind of changed inside that locker room, and they're using this mantra, and kind of Matty Q's mantra is, how does this affect us winning or losing games? If it doesn't, then it's not important to me and I don't care about it right now. And so they're not worried about facial hair or music or any of that kind of stuff. They're just going out there and they're playing baseball and they're kind of doing their thing. So the expectation for me this year is keep me engaged more than Brady Singer every fifth day, because I am really bullish on Brady Singer, guys. I think he's going to have one hell of a season. But not just that, let me see these guys take the next step. You know, we were talking about losing Daniel Lynch earlier in the season, right? And I was talking to some folks yesterday about, you know, having to go to Bubich now, and they go, actually, Bubich is throwing the ball really, really well. In fact, you could have made a case that he was pitching better than Daniel Lynch. So, okay, my expectation now a little bit for Chris Bubich to see if he's kind of figured it out, and seeing if this new pitching coach truly does kind of take the pressure off of these guys, Josh, because as we were talking about in the last segment, the old guy was telling you to hit the tip of a pen, and now the new guy's going out there, just hit the broad side of the barn and we'll make plays behind you on defense. So I'm looking to see guys be more relaxed, and also everybody to take that next step, because we're going to get to a point where contracts are coming due, and there's Singer and there's Bobby Witt Jr. and there's Vinny Pasquantino as three guys that I believe this organization feels is the kind of the next core of this team. Are they going to perform well enough this year to verify and let everybody know that they truly are the core of this team? Those are the three guys that I'm going to be truly looking at this year to say, okay, that's the core three. Maybe MJ's part of that in the core four. You can even include Salvi into that mix as well, because he said with the pitch clock, he feels he could play another 2 years on top of what he's already got left in the tank. So, I mean, you're looking at an organization right now that is putting its faith in Singer and Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. And those are the three key guys to watch this year to see if they take that next step where you say, yeah, this is who we can build around. What that is, I think your eyes will tell you, yeah. You know.
John Sherman, Royals owner, will join us coming up at 7:50 today. 7:50 today for that. So you want to tune in for that conversation for sure coming up just before 8 o'clock. But yesterday said, quote, we're having conversations about that as we speak, referring to potentially extending some of the young players on long-term deals, mm-hmm. and buy out some years of free agency. And I got to imagine the three you mentioned would be prime candidates for that.
Yeah, like those are the core,
the core guys that you want to build around. And that's positive, reassuring news. You want to make a commitment to those players.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to be here. We want you to be part of this. Let's go.
Right.
I like hearing that.
Right.
I question sometimes what it really means for the end of contracts, but in the midst of it, I think that that helps also if we're providing you a positive atmosphere and environment in which you succeed and thrive, you'll want to be here.
Sure.
I think that can go a long way in that regard.
Well, and I also think too, like, if they start offering these contracts and they can't get stuff done, I was talking with Vern about this yesterday, and we'll probably bring it up a little bit later on when he joins us, is that you don't have 5 years of Bobby Witt Jr. You essentially have 2 years now of Bobby Witt Jr. left if they can't get a long-term deal done. This regime will not be afraid to trade players if they can't get the long-term deal done. We're not going to hold on to Haas and Moose and Kane and all these guys if they can't get deals done. They will move on from those guys to maximize the value. And with the way baseball is right now, that's kind of what you have to do. So the goal of the organization is to get, I believe, those three guys locked up to long-term deals. Not today, not tomorrow, but I think the future, those are the three guys that you have to look at and say, those are the three that this organization is targeting. How they rank them, I think Brady Singer's probably number one on that list. I think Bobby's two, and I think, you know, Vinny's three. And if they're not able to get these long-term, quote-unquote long-term, whatever that is, deals done with these guys, then I wouldn't be surprised if they start trading some of these guys. And that's where you start to become more transactional. And trading Bobby Witt, let's just use him as an example, with a couple years left on a contract is going to bring you a hell of a lot more back in return than allowing him to walk after his free agent year or trading him in July of his free agent year where somebody has 3 months of Bobby Witt Jr. and you get nothing in return.
I mean, I don't want that to happen.
No,
none of us want that to happen. But yeah. If they don't have team success by then either.
Right.
Well, then, wouldn't you be eyeing those types of things?
Absolutely. You have
to. To build for more that you're still building. You'd love to have that piece, mm-hmm. but you're not getting anything done necessarily on that path at the moment.
Can Bobby Witt be the Zach Greinke trade of the future?
Maybe.
Or Vinny or MJ or Singer or whoever, you know?
Something that brings you back, which is what they have to do. You have to bring back more than you currently have.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Any of these types of things if you're the Royals. So those could be options. I don't want that to be the option, but I think it has to be considered.
And I don't think anybody's looking at the Greinke trade from a decade ago now, Josh, and saying that was a bad move by the Royals. And if you are, then you're just a pathetic loser.
No, I liked it at the time.
Yeah,
actually.
I did too.
I was like,
yeah.
It was he wasn't part of the winning then.
Right. I didn't want to be.
He didn't want to be part of the building towards it.
Right.
And he brought you a nice return.
That's exactly right.
NFL's done a lot of things right. They shouldn't push it though. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, running 13 years strong.
Everybody's asking, this is a dynasty. It's been a dynasty. Y'all just ain't no now.
Brought to you by Rayner Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RaynerKC.com.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This would be trouble because you'd go up to the batter's box and you'd like tap in it and then you want to dance back out of it.
Do that little shimmy on the way back.
They'd call ball. Or
you can't do that.
Strike,
yeah.
I guess.
This is like an old 80s sitcom where everybody's doing like a dance at the islands that's on a soundstage in California.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
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 That's, who requested this
somebody's
one?
Somebody's walk-up music today.
Our buddy Terry won a little Buster Poindexter hot for his walk-up
You're
music.
You're kind of making your request today. It's walk-up music walk-up music Thursday.
Yeah, right. Tag your name, though, please.
You get like 12 seconds of it. Boom.
That's right. Walk-up music
get to the
Thursday.
Batter's box, adjust those gloves, get in there, and take some rips.
Mm-hmm.
Tag your name so we can give you some credit.
Mm,
can't play
credit
it without
that.
The name.
That's right. Can't do it. Not going to do it.
It is a Thursday edition on opening day. 3:10 first pitch on 610 Sports Radio against the Twins today. Vern has your on-deck show at 2. He'll join us coming up at 8:30 today. The NFL's done a lot of things, right? At some point, they're going to get greedy. In some ways, they have. They tried to get greedy with that neutral site AFC Championship game.
Right.
We avoided that one, luckily.
We ended that here.
Luckily, we avoided, well, I think the game scenario ended that one.
Well, no, I mean, they didn't even bring it up, like, at the owners' meetings. Like, they've moved on from that, is what I'm saying.
Yes, good. That was not a topic conversation.
No,
good for them.
No, we're not.
So
nobody wanted that.
Flexing of Thursday.
Ridiculous.
Has been tabled for now. How about just opening the door for teams to play more Thursday games?
They're doing that.
That teams could have two games per season in that slate, not including opening day.
Right.
So,
and not including Thanksgiving. And
conceivably, the Chiefs could play, what, three Thursday night games?
Correct, yes. Unless they also play Thanksgiving, and then they could play like two other Thursday night
play
games.
Four?
Yeah, I think, yeah, something like that, right?
So the players have pushed back, including Patrick Mahomes, and MVS.
Justin Reed.
And Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, says that's not it. He goes, sooner rather than later, he thinks the NFL will have a primetime game 7 days a week.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Now you're getting to the point
that
where
he says there's too much money to be made, and at some point they'll just take the money.
Yeah, but is there enough money to be made where you don't kill what we love about the NFL, and that it's 1 day a week and that it's Sunday and that you own the day? And now you have a straggler here on a Monday night, okay, and this Thursday night game, fine. But
I like Thursday.
I like Thursday,
Sundays
too.
Sundays are great. Sunday night is awesome. Yeah. I'm frankly kind of done by Monday night.
Yeah, I don't need Monday night football.
By Monday night, I'm kind of spent.
Right, yeah.
And so I think I'm at tilt on this one.
Right. I don't think you want to get to that point where we're doing what we do about college basketball or the NBA or the NHL even, and especially Major League Baseball, where we're sitting around going, all right, enough. We have too many of these games. Now, they're not going to expand the schedule where you have 162 NFL games. That would be absolutely ridiculous and one of the dumbest things ever where you're playing every day. But they want to get to that point where Florio thinks, you know, they're going to be playing every single day and have a primetime game every night of the week. And I don't think the NFL right now needs to be King Midas and have the golden touch and touch everything and have it turn to gold, because eventually that will backfire on you. And I think one of the beauties of the NFL is that they've always been very respectful in not playing on Friday night and not playing on Saturday and not interfering with high school football and not interfering with college football on Saturday and, you know, kind of staying away from all of that. I think the NFL, in my opinion, is kind of maxed out on days, because you do have to factor in the players into all of this as well. And we know everybody's a creature of habit, obviously. But I think from a player standpoint, they want to have the ability to rest. And they don't want to be playing on a Sunday and then turning around and playing on a Wednesday and then turning around and playing on a Monday and then turning around and playing on a Thursday. Like, it would be an absolute mess. And guys would never be able to get back to the level that we need them to get. You know, we've talked to Ryan Lilja over the years and other guys, how they say it takes almost all week to recover from an NFL game. And by the time Sunday rolls around, they're finally back to feeling good. I can't imagine taxing the players like this and making them have to find ways to recover in 3 days because they got a primetime Wednesday game in Detroit or something like that. And I think when you do stuff like that and you continue to tax the players and push the players, you're going to bring the product down. Players aren't going to be at their best. They're not going to be at their freshest. They're not going to be at their healthiest. And that's not good for the overall product. We love the NFL right now because it's 1 day a week and the product is outstanding. You start sprinkling it every day, you're overkilling it, and the product just won't be as good because guys won't be able to get healthy.
Every day of the week, too. How would you stagger the schedule enough to get them on any sort of schedule to be able to recover if
right.
you're doing...
Because somebody's going to have the Wednesday package on TBS. Well, we want the Chiefs on Wednesday, and then Amazon's going to be like, we want the Chiefs on Thursday, and Fox is going to be like, we want the Chiefs on Friday, and it's just going to be one of these crazy things where it's never going to be a set schedule. And you know, where John Mara talked about it the other day, you know, abuse to the fans by flexing games. It's another side of it. Oh, we got a Wednesday night game. Yeah, I got kids now that are doing things on Wednesday night. I was expecting
this game to be a Sunday.
Like I bought into the NFL because it's on Sunday and I could clear the deck chairs for the most part on Sunday. But you start having weeknight games, that screws up family time and family things.
Roger Goodell spoke a little bit about Thursday night football versus, you know, player safety.
I don't think we are putting Amazon over players' interests. You know, we've always been looking at the data with respect to injuries and the impact on players. That was drove our decisions throughout the first 12 or so years of Thursday night football and how it's evolved. And I think we have data that's very clear. It doesn't show higher injury rate, but we recognize shorter weeks. We went through this in COVID too. It's, you know, you we had to have a lot of flexibility in those areas. So those are obviously different circumstances, but we work very closely on that. I hear from a lot of players directly too. They love the 10 days afterwards. In fact, they call it a mini buy. And so,
oh, really?
There's some benefits on that side. So you have different views. You want to consider all of them, but players have different views. Coaches have different views, and we have to try to balance all of that.
They call that a mini buy, like he's like revealing new information
to
all of us, right?
That's the spin of it all. That's that's how you guys sold them on it.
Right, right.
You're gonna get some extra rice on the backside. Yeah. Just grind through Thursday.
Right.
You know, some extra rice. You guys threw out the carrot. The league threw out the carrot that was a deal. Well, they've discovered this loophole, this thing that they get extra rest. No, that's how you spun it.
That's how you spun it to them, right?
And he's also answering Amazon questions because there's been accusations there placating to Amazon, who has a ton of money.
Yeah, right.
Including one who is potentially, doesn't sound like it now, though, was in on Washington.
No, he's not initially. Buying that team. No.
Now it's Magic's group, right?
Yeah.
They've thrown $6 billion to go buy Washington. But
the whole
they
city?
Were trying to, continue to appease Moneybags Amazon.
Yeah.
To give the league more money. And so I think he's deflecting kind of accusations of that too.
Yeah, Roger Goodell though making the mini buy sound like it was something we never heard of before. The next thing he's going to say, there are people who like meat on a bun. They call that a hamburger. Oh, really? Is that what you're saying?
We found through careful study, our fans like beer.
Right. We get drunk off of it. Yeah.
Through study.
Yeah, we've done some studies.
Fans like cheese and jalapenos on chips.
Right. We call those nachos. Oh,
it's a barley base.
That's a real novel idea here.
Hops.
We have found that
barley
people
hops,
like,
discovered
like tube
been
meat
effective.
on bun, and we sell. We call that a hot dog. Thank you, Roger. A couple from the text line I want to get to from the 660, Roger Greedell. From the 913, playing the NFL will turn the NFL into the NBA, and we will start to have load management issues. That's an interesting one right there. Couple texting in with the load management one.
And they should.
And that's why I don't pay attention to the NBA, because you don't know who's playing on any particular night. The star set. Could you imagine?
If you keep increasing NFL games, it's going to happen.
Right.
That the expectation level was, man, you got 18 games. Really only expecting to play 16, and you'll go. That'll be a fact of football.
Yeah, because you're killing the recovery time. Yeah, you need so much time to recover after those games.
You get two byes. You personally get two byes.
Right, right.
That'll happen. I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah, and do you want to be a Chiefs fan and have 17 games and Mahomes miss games or Kelsey miss games or Jones miss games or whoever miss games because of load management stuff, man? I just think that's a bad precedent to start setting, because it is the number one thing that is killing the NBA right now is this load management stuff. I mean, they're talking about going to less games so guys play all of those games. But I don't think the NBA is ever going to get load management back in the tube, no matter how many games they play. They're always going to have those. I don't want to experience that as a football fan, because there's so few games. In the NBA, the regular season is meaningless. In the NFL, the regular season, there actually is a sanctity of the regular season. For the Chiefs, it's a tune-up to the playoffs. For some teams, they're trying to get into the postseason. But if you're sitting guys because of load management, then you're sacrificing at 1/17 of your schedule. Yeah. I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's going to be a reality if they keep stretching this thing. You keep telling them you're going to have to play in multiple days. You keep telling them you're going to have to play more games. I think it's going to be a fact of life. I don't hate that seemingly NBA players have found the loophole, other than for the fans. I think it stinks for the fans, the load management. But from a player perspective, I totally get it.
No, I get it from a player perspective, but from
rest and get yourself ready for the only thing that matters, which is the postseason. I hate it for the fans. I hate it for ones that they're buying tickets and expecting to go do that.
Could you imagine going to a Chiefs game and Mahomes isn't playing and you paid $400 a shot to go to that?
I think that's a legitimate reality. If you keep asking for more, that's going to happen. There's going to be enough pushback. They're like, I'm not doing this.
Right.
I'm playing 16 games.
Yeah.
I'm not playing 18. Not playing 19. Not playing 20. Playing 16 games.
17.
Well, I'm saying when they expand it.
Oh, yeah.
Currently it's 17. I think they're all fine with that, but the expectation level won't be to play every game.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Yeah.
Be asking him to do too much.
From the text line, the NFL is going to use the 7-day per week possibility as a bargaining chip in the next CBA. They're just starting early. And
could be.
Josh has always said over the years, the NFL does a great job of getting the players focused on something that they're really not going to do to take away from what they really want, and that's more money.
Yeah.
All right, fine. We'll sacrifice some cash. Just don't make us play 7 days a week. Okay, we're in. Good.
Yeah, they throw.
We call that bargaining.
They're a terrific bargainer because they scare tactic you with stuff they don't even intend on getting through.
Right, it's great.
And then the players go, okay.
Right.
And they're like, okay, well, they were gonna play 7 days. Well, they told us they were. You know, they probably don't have any intention of playing 7 days. Right. He's actually said they don't have intentions. But I think even the threat of it would make you go, Is this something they're thinking about doing? We probably should squash this now. And I think that they've been taken in some of these negotiations.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, now that, you know, we're fathers and have things going on with our kids a lot, like, I don't have the room on my plate for a Wednesday night game. We got soccer, we've got track, we've got swimming, we've got cheerleading, we've got all this stuff, you know, that my wife has to take the kids to while I watch games. But I think if you ask any parent, like, the NFL is a 3-hour window on a Sunday that you kind of escape and do your thing, but the rest of the week you're busy and throwing up a football. I mean, we talk about the Tuesday night games at baseball stadiums all the time, Josh, and the Wednesday night games at the baseball stadium. I mean, we've made it a point on this show to say we don't need early week games because nobody's going to them. And the NFL does risk that. They do risk that. Especially like a place like Green Bay where nobody lives and everybody commutes from Milwaukee. Are you driving up on a Wednesday and then your Thursday shot because you have to drive back and all that? Like, I just think the NFL is in a really, really good spot right now. And as many people on the text line have said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And honestly, between the three of us, all of us are so busy. Outside of Chiefs on Thursday nights, how many Thursday night games did we watch?
Right. How many are you watching and diving full head into? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we did, we hit the eject button by halftime.
Yeah, because it was Denver and you had to be forced to watch Russell Wilson fall all over the place. He sucks. Have you seen how bad he is? He stinks.
Plenty of Royals fans are tuning in, but a big example of the inequities of baseball. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Rayner Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RaynerKC.com. 610 Sports Radio.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control.
Oh, yeah, I'm
high. I'm roping an opposite field double.
Is this an Oppo Taco type of song,
after
man?
That song.
What is this?
It's your walk-up music on a Thursday for opening day.
Yeah, baby.
This is much requested, one of my favorite songs. It's the entrance to Triple H that he's had for years. Time to play the game. My man Chad, my man Butter, my man Ben, everybody requesting time to play the game from Motorhead.
You can request your walk-up music at 913-586-7610. Tag your name so we know who's walking up in this instance.
That's
along
right.
With Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Brian Williams, B-Dub, producing as always.
That's
913-586-7610 on the text line. So they're watching.
Yeah.
They're listening.
Sure.
They're paying attention.
No doubt. They're just not getting paid.
Yeah. So Forbes put out a little article about baseball values and team values. And their story basically says, despite regional television woes,
right,
baseball's most valuable teams and price tags are up 12%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always the interesting part. Like, nobody watches baseball. Nobody pays attention to baseball. And they're making money. They're up.
Well, it's like real estate, like, right? You make your money when you sell.
They're all up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're all doing fine. All these baseball teams are actually doing fine. But some are doing more fine than others because, like, bang for your buck, the Royals definitely don't get theirs.
No, they really don't. So the Forbes magazine listed everybody's rights fees and how many people are watching each game on a nightly basis in Major League Baseball. And so with the crumbling regional sports networks. Also, you can see by this article why these regional sports networks are crumbling. They're wasting money. They're idiots running these companies. I'm going to tell you that right now. Morons are running these regional sports network companies. They are jackasses because the money that they're spending and what they're getting in return, I mean, all of these guys should be fired who are running these networks because they're incompetent. So the Royals are getting $45 million a year from Bally's.
And which sounds like a lot.
It sounds like a lot, but we'll get to, you know. And
then you look around the rest of Major League Baseball.
Right. Right, right. So the Royals are getting $45 million from Bally's a year. And 37,000 people per night are watching the Royals. It's a decent number, right? 37,000 people per night are watching the Royals on television. They're getting $45 million. The Colorado Rockies are getting $57 million per year, and they get 15,000 people to tune in every night. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are getting a
market.
Huge market. It's L.A., right?
Right.
They're getting $112 million per year from Bally's. 47,000 people tune in to watch an Angels game every night. 10,000 more 10, than the Royals.
10,000 more people in L.A.
In L.A.
are tuning in than are tuning in Kansas City.
In Kansas City. 10,000 more people, and their rights fees are three times as much.
Yeah.
Isn't that pathetic? I mean, think about that for a second. You want to know why baseball is ass backwards right now? You want to know why there's problems and inequities in the game? This jackass company that is running these regional sports networks is paying the Angels $112 million per year, and the Royals only $45 million per year, and the Angels are getting them 10,000 more viewers per night in Los Angeles. I mean, it is so ridiculous. The Miami Marlins are getting $49 million
more
a year
than the
from
Royals.
Bally's.
Yep, more than the Royals.
They get 11,000 viewers a night.
Excuse me?
11,000 viewers per night.
Versus
37,000 viewers per night. I did the Rockies already. How about the Cincinnati Reds? They're getting $48 million per year. They have 10,000 less viewers per night than the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Orioles are getting $61 million per year. They have 29,000 viewers per night. And then the ultimate one for me is the Arizona Diamondbacks. I didn't know they still had a team. They're getting $68 million per year from rights fees. 20,000 people tune in to watch them every night. Now, the L.A. Dodgers are getting $196 million. They have 120,000 viewers per night. So that's a big number.
See, Texas, don't look at Texas.
I don't think I went down to the T's.
Don't look at Texas.
The Texas Rangers are getting $111 million per year from Bally's Jackass Network, and they are getting 21,000 viewers per night. So, how about the Washington Nationals? $61 million per year. They're getting 21,000 viewers. So the moral of the story is Bally's doesn't know how to spend money.
Royals are delivering.
The Royals deliver, and they get no money, and then all these other teams are getting all this cash, and nobody's watching their games. I don't care what market you're in. If nobody's turning on the game, you're not getting your money's worth if you're these companies. Yeah. How dumb are they? And then you got the Padres. They're getting $47 million per year, and they get 51,000 viewers per night. The Padres and the Royals are the least paid teams, in my opinion, per viewer than any other team out there in Major League Baseball.
I'm surprised the Padres get that many viewers.
Yeah. How about the Pirates? They're getting $61 million a year.
I always thought that they were like a passive, kind of a passive fan base, but maybe not.
Well, they're winning, Josh. I mean, they're winning right now. They got cool uniforms. They got a great ballpark. They got a buzz around them. People are watching the Padres. The Phillies are getting $125 million per year, and they get 131,000 viewers. Now, do you want to know what the St. Louis Cardinals are getting from Bally's? $59 million per year, and they have 91,000 viewers every night. The Cardinals aren't getting enough money.
No, not based on that.
But the L.A. Angels of Anaheim getting $112 million per year from Bally's for 47,000 viewers a night, 10,000 more than the Royals.
Good for them. Cost of living, you know.
Yeah.
So much more expensive.
And here's another interesting note. More people in Chicago watch the White Sox than the Cubs on a nightly basis.
Yeah, dirty little secret.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. I will say more White Sox fans are diehard White Sox fans.
Right.
Cub fans like to go to the ballpark.
Yeah. Cubs fan. Well, people go to the ballpark.
People go to the ballpark. And everybody's a Cubs fan, but loosely.
Yeah.
It's not as
you go there and drink. You don't really care.
It's not as the White Sox fans are diehard White Sox fans because they have to defend the fact that they're White Sox fans.
Right.
They will tune in.
Yeah. How about Tampa? Listen to this one: $56 million a year. They get 52,000 viewers a night.
Really?
Who would have thought that? Right.
Well, it's all the old people staying in.
I guess. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Mariners get $100 million per year. They get 68,000 viewers per night. The Giants get $92 million a year. They get 64,000 viewers per night. But the Royals are severely underpaid when it comes to the TV and what they deliver from a viewer perspective. I mean, there's just no way that LA should be getting $112 million a year and the Royals $45 million a year to give you 10,000 more viewers. I don't care what market. I don't care if you're on the moon. Nobody's watching. Nobody's paying attention to the Angels, and they're getting $112 million for their rights, and they're delivering basically what the Royals are delivering. That's got to be frustrating if you're John Sherman to see those numbers. We're giving you a product. People are watching our product, and you're not paying us for it?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.